I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's a wrap.
Yo, that's a wrap. It was an amazing experience. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Hope you got some laughs, some good entertainment.
This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Here with a dribble as Jerome takes it far side. Through a series of staggered screens, gets Williamson, takes him on the dribble, floats it up and in! Baseline right took advantage of the slower defender. Golden State down by two.
And the Warriors would fight in this one. It was a two-possession game in the final minute. But ultimately, the Warriors and what they turned this morning into a developmental game, final game of the five-game road trip, 5 games and 7 nights in Orlando. And the Pelicans prevail in this one, leading by as many as 11, and they hang on to win it by 9, 114-105. We welcome you inside Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson with you tonight, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call or shoot me a text here on a Friday night. Let's get into it as the Warriors, an 0-5 trip, a brutal, really catastrophic trip when you look at the fact that a week ago the Warriors left to head to the East Coast, Charlotte, Detroit, Miami, Orlando, and now tonight closing it out against the Pelicans. I don't think anybody could have possibly imagined that the Warriors would wind up 0-5 on this trip and now coming home 10 games into the season with 5 games in the next 12 nights once they play Sacramento at Chase Center on Monday. And they're 3-7 and they're up against it and they're among the worst teams in the Western Conference right now 10 games into the season, and they have a lot of work to do. Now tonight, not so much about the consternation and the poor play and the missed opportunities and all the fouling, because the Warriors did turn tonight into one of what I would imagine is probably going to be anywhere between 5 and 8 developmental games on the second of back-to-backs, or in situations where the Warriors are playing 5 and 7 or 4 and 6, end of long road trips. We've seen the Warriors do this in the past where they give Steph and they give Clay and they give Draymond and even Andrew Wiggins the night off. Andre Iguodala still not back, and that's what the Warriors did in this one. And overall, just some thoughts on this one, because there are a lot of different things to get into. We can look at the big picture of the 0-5 and the changes that need to be made for the Warriors moving forward as they get back home on Monday night. But we can also look at tonight's ball game as a developmental type game for the young players. And, you know, decent effort tonight. The Warriors were up 1 at the end of the first quarter. They did trail by 9 after a 35-27 Pelicans second quarter as they wound up trailing by 7 at halftime. And the Pelicans, kind of a back and forth. Pelicans would separate a little bit and the Warriors would cut into the lead. Golden State actually had the lead at one point in the third quarter, and then the Pelicans are able to push it back out to lead by 9 after 3. But a couple of really good runs, 14-5 in the second quarter. Warriors had a 17-5 run when things were maybe on the brink of getting out of hand in the third quarter, and a 14-5 run even in the fourth quarter to make it 95-93. And again, over the final minute, it was basically a two-possession game. So nice effort from the young players in this one, and players that hadn't been getting an opportunity to play. You just kind of run up and down the line here. Jonathan Kuminga, career high in minutes for Jonathan Kuminga, just a tick under 37, 18 points. He was aggressive. He was flying around trying to rebound the basketball. Ended up only with 4 total in terms of rebounds. But I think tonight, and the one thing that really stood out to me, and I put this tweet out at halftime, was just the fact that it really stood out how, you know, the young players, how much easier it must be for them to go out and play freely without any expectation of winning, without having to fit their game into a box, short minutes, doing specific things, surrounded by Hall of Famers, and a team that's trying to continue a dynastic run. So I think there was just a freedom and a freshness for the young players. Could they get a win? Yeah, maybe. If the Pelicans took them lightly and the game got up and down and maybe somebody got hot, Jordan Poole goes off for a big game, and you keep it close, maybe the Warriors have an opportunity to steal a game like that. We saw them do it a couple of times last year when they put these kinds of lineups out there. Teams can get a little bit thrown off by it. And I thought the Pelicans certainly were. I thought the energy was good. And you look at it, and a lot of these young players show, I think in the grand scheme of things, that they're very talented and capable of becoming really good NBA players in their own right over the course of time. The one thing, though, that remains to be seen, while you can praise somebody like a Jonathan Kuminga for his effort tonight, you can say, hey, Moses Moody had 14. You can look at even a guy like Anthony Lamb, who stroked the three ball, a guy that's had some NBA experience, and he ends up 4 of 6 for 16 points. You can look at it and say, hey, these players really had that chance. Ty Jerome, 18 points, and he's been somebody that's played well in a smaller, more limited role around a lot of the other players. But I think really it's almost twofold. It's you feel good about the talent level of a lot of these younger players in the big picture, but the question becomes how many of these guys, when they get opportunities in the shorter stretches, when they are surrounded by the future Hall of Famers and the champions, can they make an impact on the game with them? Can they do the little things that can affect the outcome of some of these games without necessarily having to have the freedom to go out there and attack repeatedly like a Jonathan Kuminga had tonight, or to take every open shot you get like Anthony Lamb did tonight with great success. So I think you almost have to file it in two different categories as you evaluate it. But all in all, it was an enjoyable game. I thought it was an interesting game to watch, and a lot of young talent that the Warriors are trying to develop. Steve Kerr, we're going to hear from him after this one, as he had a lot of really interesting things to say about who played well and what is upcoming, because he laid out in his post-game press conference just the timeline that the Warriors now face, where they're coming off the 5-7, they're coming home, they have a game on Monday against Sacramento, and then they have 3 days before their next game, and it's 5 games in 12 days beginning on Monday night. But it's a game, and then it's 3 days to practice, and then another game, and then the games kind of come every other day for the course of a week. And Steve Kerr really said, hey, that's an opportunity to reevaluate the rotation, and he has an idea of what's going to happen. I guess one of the questions I ask to you, the listener here on Warriors Wrap-Up tonight, is what do you want to see? Because Steve Kerr has said changes are coming. What should those changes be? You just got an opportunity to see everybody that hadn't been playing. So now who fits into the equation, who doesn't fit into the equation? Because the reality is for the Warriors right now, they got to start winning some games. They're 3-7. And one of the other things I was going to throw out there at 888-957-9570 is just how do you feel when you see the Warriors or you hear at 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock, or maybe it's right before game time, you're getting off of work, you're coming home to watch it, or you're listening to it on the radio, and you hear, oh, Steph's not playing, and Klay's not playing, and Draymond's not playing, and Wiggins is not playing, but the team's 3-6, and they've lost 4 in a row, and you understand that it's a long season, and there are two goals. The Warriors want to contend for a championship but develop the young players. I think these games tend to be more beneficial for the young players than the games where they're trying to fit into that more limited specific role. But just kind of how do you feel about the Warriors choosing to have a developmental game this early in the season when they're struggling? Because I don't think there's anybody in the Warriors organization that would have believed that the Warriors would have been 0-4 on this road trip going into this game tonight, that the Warriors would have been 3-6 overall going into this game tonight. I think the Warriors thought, 5-4 maybe at worst going into this one. Maybe a loss to Miami, but you beat Detroit, you beat Orlando, or you beat Charlotte, you beat Orlando, some combination of those games to where you're a couple of games better than this and you're not feeling, I don't want to say like you got a chase tonight, because the Warriors chased the game in Detroit back in game two of this trip on Sunday, and they didn't get it. And so while I do believe that this game was probably circled, end of a long trip, fifth game in 7 nights, as a nice natural marker to give the veteran players a break, you know, would you be a little bit more reluctant to do it when you look up and you're 3-6, even with a lot of games to go, still 72 to go in an NBA season? Or is the development more important, or do you just feel, because there's always that initial thought for me when I see the injury report come out, and I did have it this morning when I saw it right around 10:30, 10:45, I thought, well, that's probably going to be another L, and no guarantees, obviously, and the Warriors surely competed their tails off, and the young guys deserve credit, but I always, throughout the day, almost have to work my way into not being a little bit annoyed at the fact that you know, this early in the season, you're, in essence, deciding that winning a basketball game tonight is not the most important thing. It may still happen, but it's not necessarily the most important thing when you've got a team that's trying to battle for seeding and trying to battle for an NBA championship. But I definitely see it both ways. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson on Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to the phones. We'll start with D up first here in D.C. on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, D.?
Going on with you, JD.
Do well, man. Do well.
Been listening to the radio. It always felt better to be listening to the radio when you on it, man. Because you somehow
appreciate that.
I think your analysis is always right on point. I think there's a lot to learn about the game tonight, man. I mean, even though we lost, I think the kids or the rotation that Kerr had on the floor did a pretty good job. The team is not that far off. I think we are in a great position. All Kerr has to do now is pick four players from this group that played tonight and add it to the five starters and start a nine-man rotation instead of trying to roll in 10 or 11 players to play every night. That makes no sense, because I've seen a couple of lineups that he has. As the starters start to play, they got everything rolling, and suddenly he pulls them out off the court and plugged in five new players, young players, who don't even know what the system is about, right? So which at the end of the day end up throwing off the chemistry and the cohesion that really needs to exist on defense as well as on offense, right? Another observation that I noticed too tonight, I think they need to do a better job as far as teaching wise men how to do a pick and how to set a pick. Instead of making him or asking of him to pick and roll, they need to ask of him to pick and pop. Because when he rolls, he's always in a hurry, right? And that's the problem. That's the problem that needs to be fixed, in my opinion. But anyways, I'm just going to be quiet and listen to you from the other side, bro.
D, appreciate it. 888-957-9570. Good phone call to get things tipped off here on a Friday night. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Pelicans beat the Warriors 114-105. So the Dubs are 3-7, 0-5 road trip for Golden State as they are home on Monday to take on the Sacramento Kings for the second time here in the early season. Want to touch on the first thing that D brought to the table, which is pick four guys out of the group that played tonight as who's going to be in the rotation. I don't know that Steve Kerr's necessarily going to look to make four moves, but you know Jordan Poole, who did not have a great game tonight as the alpha, as the number one, didn't shoot it well. And look, he was the one player among this group that was playing significant minutes on the entire trip, even with the other players that had been playing up until this point. So Poole, if there was one guy, even at 23 years old, who may have been a little bit fatigued, I think he could find himself in that category. But yeah, Poole 20 points tonight, got to the free throw line 7 times, but 3 of 10 from 3, and he was 5 of 18 overall. So really struggling with his shot, not his best game tonight. But you know Jordan Poole's going to be the 6th player and one of, let's say, D asked me to pick 4. So Jordan Poole's playing no matter what. I think Ty Jerome is going to continue to keep playing. He has had a nice little road trip for the Warriors. And I know there was a lot of consternation about the two-way changes where the Warriors ended up parting ways with Quindary Weatherspoon, and they freed up roster spots for Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb to take on the two-way deals. It looks at least a couple of weeks into the season like the Warriors got the two-way deals right, because Ty Jerome's been a net positive on a bench that really has been a net negative overall. And look, he's only playing because Dante DiVincenzo's out, but he does bring a lot of what the Warriors, I think, were hoping to get from DiVincenzo in terms of a secondary ball handler, somebody that could knock down the open three. He just plays a heady, solid game. So I think Poole and Ty Jerome are going to continue to be in the rotation, at least until Dante DiVincenzo is back from injury. I think Kuminga's going to get some opportunity now. And you're not going to want to miss what Steve Kerr had to say about Jonathan Kuminga in his post-game press conference, because Kerr said flat out, Kuminga is going to get another opportunity. So it sounds like Kuminga's going back in. I agree with that decision. I think it is time to give Kuminga another shot, and in part because Jamichael Green has just not played up to the capabilities and the belief that I think the Warriors thought he would coming over as a veteran free agent signing. Nobody was going to be Otto Porter or last year's version of Otto Porter. I think the Warriors thought they were going to be getting a little bit more from Jamichael Green to this point than they have. Kuminga was in the rotation at the beginning of the year, so let's not get it twisted and act as if Kuminga hasn't gotten an opportunity. He got an opportunity the first 2-3 games, but he didn't bring it at an intensity level consistently that Steve Kerr wanted to see, and I think that's in large part why he found himself right back on the bench, and not only back on the bench, but getting DNP coaches' decisions with some regularity on this trip. Jamichael Green, I think, has played his way into fewer minutes or maybe not playing at all here for a handful of games. Kuminga's going to get a shot, but what does Kuminga do? Can Kuminga be one of those players that plays with the aggression he played with tonight in the context of playing with the 5 starters plus Jordan Poole and the champions squad, in addition to when tonight it's more of a free-for-all and he's one of the 3 or 4 best players on the floor for the Warriors, and he knows he's going to get his touches and he's going to get his minutes and he's going to get his ability to try and make things happen. He's got to be aggressive like he was tonight. He's got to play with that purpose and that energy tonight when Steve Kerr taps him on the shoulder and puts him in the game, probably in the first quarter toward the end against the Kings at Chase Monday. That being said, I think Kuminga's in. The one that I'm interested in is Anthony Lamb. Does Anthony Lamb get an opportunity, even as a two-way player, to be active and maybe get some minutes ahead of Moses Moody? And I wonder, Moody, I think the Warriors like. He's steady. But if Anthony Lamb can come in and make shots, having a wing player that can make shots playing with that second unit, I think, is something that's intriguing. So I wonder about Anthony Lamb. I don't know whether he just has the type of game that I feel like could potentially fit in that box of playing with the players that you know are going to play on a night-in, night-out basis. If he gets minutes, is it in place of Moses Moody? And then the other key question I have moving forward is, does James Wiseman take a seat? I still think probably no, because they know that his minutes are needed just for developmental purposes. And if you start handing him DNP coaches' decisions, I mean, what good does that do? But I wouldn't be surprised if Wiseman, rather, starts playing different minutes. And no, I don't mean to throw him in the starting lineup, but different combinations. Maybe more time with the starters when Looney is out there at the beginning and at the end of halves. And Looney out there is more of a stabilizing force. Like, get Wiseman in more as a quick sub for Looney, allow him to play potentially with Steph and maybe Jordan Poole and with Draymond Green out there, coaching him up defensively and then taking him out and having Looney out there in maybe a bench group that features Poole and Ty Jerome and maybe Kuminga and Anthony Lamb at the beginning of some second quarter. So Steve Kerr's going to have some options, but I think if you're reading the tea leaves, I think Poole and Ty Jerome are going to keep playing. Kuminga's back in. I'm curious about Anthony Lamb, and I don't think Wiseman completely gets pulled out. I think we may see less Jamichael Green, and I think we may even see less Moses Moody here for a couple of games, but we'll have to see moving forward. It also could just be a reshuffling of the deck chairs as far as not so much players playing fewer minutes, with the exception of Jamichael Green, but just playing different minutes as the Warriors will have some practice time here next week after they play the Kings. 888-957-9570. Let's keep it moving on the phones with Sophomore in Pacifica here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Sophomore.
Hey, great question. Yes, great question. And I think this is a really good thing. I think it's good for the starters, because trying to win some games, they're getting overplayed. They need a rest. So make it the rest mean something, be a full rest. It's great for the young guys. Look how JK managed to stand out tonight in a way that he hadn't been able to before. And they just need it. So they just don't get frustrated and, you know, start kicking trash cans and stuff. And finally, Kerr, I don't think Kerr ever says he does things for this reason. But it's great for the fans, you know, and including you guys and your work. It gives us a fresh look at some stuff and some other things to talk about and really keep interest going in a team that is doing very, very poorly up to this point. I wouldn't lose interest, but I'll bet a lot of people would without this kind of thing to give us a fresh look.
Thanks, Sophomore. The only downside to it is the fact that the Warriors didn't bank a couple of wins ahead of the game tonight to where they came in maybe at 5-4 and now they're looking at 5-5 as opposed to 3-7. Certainly not insurmountable, and I think the Warriors at some point are counting on being able to make up a 3-7 stretch. I mean, every team, even a championship team, goes through stretches like that through the course of a season, but you do put yourself in a vulnerable position now where you're sub 500, and it's going to take a great week and maybe two to get yourself just above the 500 mark. I mean, you look at the next five games coming in over 2 weeks. So the Warriors can't even get to 500 now until what? The 16th, I think, at the earliest, 16th or the 18th. I mean, they're going to be under 500 for a good chunk of November now, once you dip to 3-7. So let's get West Oakland Sam next on 95.7 The Game. You're on with JD. What's up, Sam?
Hey. JD, hold on. Sorry. Let me turn on my radio. I apologize, brother. But
oh, you're good.
Do you think there's an issue with, like, you're trying to find rotations because coming into the season, I was like, okay, you know, Moses Moody, Jordan Poole, these youngins got consistent rotation. Even Kuminga got some rotation in the finals. Do you think there's a problem trying to find variance within that rotation where it's like, Kuminga, whenever Kuminga is able to play as loose as he is tonight, without having the starters behind him where he feels like he has to take on a role that's bigger than what he had to do tonight. You know what I mean? Do you think there's a dynamic within the Warriors right now that is like, oh, the youngins, they play more loosely because there is no following act that is combined with the starters, you know what I mean? Like, I think what I saw tonight from especially Kuminga was, oh, I don't have to worry about covering any other player. I saw a more loose Kuminga. Do you think there is something going on with, you know, I don't want to, like, put something that Draymond did to Jordan Poole. I don't want to tie it to any of that, but do you think there is something tied to just the looseness that especially Kuminga was able to play with tonight, tied to just like following these Hall of Famers that we have on our team?
I just think, Sam, and I want to hear your take on it as well. We can have a little conversation about it. I just think it's easier for a young player to go play freely when you're going to be treated for that night as if you are one of the star players. Like, Kuminga goes into tonight and he knows, I'm getting 30 minutes. I'm probably the second most talented dude on the floor next to Jordan Poole offensively. And nobody's going to rip me out of the game if I miss a rotation or if I take a bad shot or if I make a dumb play. And I think it's just, he's talented. Like, we all know he's talented, but it's just a lot more difficult to play that way when you know you're only getting 7 minutes a half, let's say, on a good night, because everybody else has got to play and get theirs.
And then dial your operator.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. West Oakland Sam checking in here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. I mean, I really think that's what it boils down to. It's now, the reality is, if Jonathan Kuminga is your second-best player, you're not going to be winning a lot. But tonight was, the Warriors were basically the Pistons tonight, or the Magic, or, you know, pick the Rockets. You know, pick your young team. Like, they functioned as one of those teams tonight where it was, hey, young players, go out there, get yours, have a good time, compete. We don't care if you win. You're going to get all the shots you want. And there was a good energy to it. I think the problem is those players are fine in their own world, when you look at them as young players that have to develop into future really good players. The Warriors championship players are fine in where they're at this point. They're top six, let's say. The problem is when the two meet. The problem are when you got to put a couple of these guys out there with the veterans, or you're trying to play them, you know, in a rotation to win a game. And you've got the veterans who at times, I think in these first 10 games, nine, if you want to throw tonight out because they didn't play, but I think they're in championship hangover coast mode in some of these games. And at the same time, they can't necessarily be in championship hangover coast mode while the young players are trying to fit their game in a box and making mistakes that get them ripped out or their rotation shortened or whatever it is, their mistakes magnified and not covered by the fact that the veteran players are just trying to get through and get themselves worked into a season. So I think that's where none of this is really meshed to the fullest, and it's cost the Warriors to the tune of 3-6 going into tonight, and now 3-7 coming out of it. So 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. Still time to sneak in another call or two before we call it a night, but a really thoughtful Steve Kerr post-game from New Orleans, addressing everything that we've been talking about. So here's the head coach.
Steve, you said, you know, more than anything, you want to see the fight. You got, proud of that.
I thought the guys competed, and, it was a two-possession game with a minute left. And so we had a chance, but couldn't get it done. But very happy with the effort, and excited about getting home. And we've got, we got a game Monday, and then we don't play again until Friday. So I think next week will be a great opportunity for us to get a lot of work in, execution wise at both ends, and work on our rotations. We're going to change up the rotations a little bit, and I've got an idea of what I'm going to do, but the staff will talk about it in the next couple of days, and we'll solidify that. So it should be a good week for us to get back on track.
Why did Anthony Lamb get the start tonight? What did you think?
Anthony Lamb can play. He fits our style really well. He's a good basketball player. He sets good screens. He dives. He understands spacing. Shoots the three really well. We saw that in practice, and I wanted to give him a look tonight, and I thought he played extremely well.
Which combinations tonight seemed like the nice one?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say based on tonight because we were without so many guys. It was apparent who really played well tonight. JK played really well, and he's earned some minutes. And, I thought Ty Jerome was fantastic again. He's just played well every single night. I thought Lamb played well as well. There's a lot of good stuff to take from it. Moses Moody played well. So got guys who maybe haven't gotten a ton of minutes who are going to get a chance to play.
What if you just throw a whole smash these last three games? And sometimes it looks like he's maybe trying to play make more than create his own shots.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying too hard. I think Jordan's trying too hard to create every play. And he's at his best when there's a flow to the game. He plays on and off the ball. He's getting some catch and shoot opportunities. The NBA is filled with the greatest athletes on earth, and trying to dribble through those athletes time and again is not going to be a winning formula. Ball movement is crucial to trying to win at this level. That's for Jordan, that's for Steph, that's for Clay, that's for Draymond, and that's the way we've always played. Ball's got to move. You got to trust the pass to put the defense in a tough spot, where now all of a sudden the defense is trying to recover and you're attacking closeouts and a disjointed defense rather than attacking one guy one-on-one with four guys standing behind him in a shell drill. And that's what we're looking at a lot. And so we've got to soften up the defense by moving the ball and getting better rhythm to our offense.
You mentioned what did you see?
I thought he played really hard. I thought he had some good passes. He attacks the rim. He's explosive. So, there's a reason he was the seventh pick in the draft. He's a really talented young guy. So all of what's happened last year and in the early part of this year is part of the development. And he showed tonight that he's ready to, step into the rotation and contribute. But that has to be every day. And that's what I'm going to ask of him, is to bring that effort and that energy every day and be able to play through the tough nights where maybe the minutes aren't there, and come back the next day and be ready to go again. And that's what all these guys have to learn at a young age. I thought James did a really good job. He had a fantastic offensive rebound and one, or put back, I should say. He made some really nice plays. He rebounded the ball well tonight. James's attitude is phenomenal. It always has. He's overcome so much with the injury. And as I said yesterday, the progress of these young guys is not something we assess on a daily basis. It's really a long-term process. And James is committed to that every day. It's one of the things I admire about him.
Did you expect it to be so close?
I thought we could win the game. These are strange games for the opponent when you sit some guys and guys are out with injury or whatever. And you get a bunch of guys who are dying to play. So they bring a lot of energy and a lot of life. So I thought we not only could we compete, I thought we could win, but we just didn't quite get there.
You guys had 22 turnovers. How much of that was just not having continuity within this group, and these guys not necessarily getting a lot of minutes?
A little bit, but I think more of it was people just trying to do too much on their own. Again, people have to trust the pass and they got to trust each other, but that will improve as we go during the season.
Did you feel like guys are pressing because they wanted to, make an argument for why they should be in rotation?
Maybe. I also think young players in America grow up attacking one-on-one all the time. And then they don't generally have much college experience. And so they're used to being able to just put their head down and drive to the rim because they're the best athlete on the floor. So young players have to learn when they get to the NBA how to play without the ball, how to play as a five-man unit. Because unlike 20 years ago, they don't play in college for 3 or 4 years and learn how to do that. So the NBA is we're a development league. We've become a development league. Half the guys in this league are projects that we're trying to develop because the system is kind of built that way.
How did you feel about the guarding without fouling after?
Better at times, and then we had some spells. We did a really good job the first 9 minutes of the first quarter, and then for whatever reason started fouling again end of the first. 29 free throws, that number ideally would be 22, 24. So we're still above where we would like to be, but, it's work in progress.
But another question about James West. The nervous time when he looks, you can tell that he's, how do you handle that? Because you want guys to play frustrated, right? But at the same time, you don't want it to snowball into more shapes. How do you manage that?
He's really hard on himself. So I want guys to learn from their mistakes and grow from them. And I don't want them to play frustrated. I want them to play free and loose. But there has to be some structure within that freedom. The freedom has to exist within a structure. That's maybe a better way to put it. And so when we don't have structure and it just becomes a pickup game, which has been the case for a lot of the games so far this year, that freedom is abused and it becomes just reckless basketball. So you got to find that balance.
All right. So Steve Kerr there trying to find the balance. I thought the most important things that Kerr addressed there, talking about Jordan Poole, number one, Poole trying too hard to create and make a play every play. I think Poole's just got to get back toward looking to be a scorer first and not necessarily dribbling so much, but move the ball, get it back, and just looking to do what he does best, which is score. We all know he can playmake, but it's got to be playmake in the flow of the game and not playmake just because you've got the ball and you're the lead guard and you feel like it's your job. I think he needs to almost simplify the game to make it easier on himself to take a deep breath and just get his a little bit more in the flow. And then I teased it a couple of times, and we addressed it with a couple of the callers here tonight. Steve Kerr talking about Jonathan Kuminga. He's going back into the rotation, flat out. And I think the question becomes, can Kuminga keep bringing the effort and the energy, even though he's not going to get 38 minutes and he's not going to get 10 shots and he's not going to get the unabashed green light that he had tonight? Can Kuminga be productive and fight through struggles and fight through not getting as much of an opportunity as he wants, even though he's going to get a bigger opportunity than he's had? That's something that he did for about two games, and then it quit. And that's why Steve Kerr ripped him out and hadn't put him really back in for any meaningful minutes until tonight. He's going to get another shot, I think, likely over Jamichael Green. What does Kuminga do with it? Because he earned his way into the rotation, and then he earned his way out of the rotation. And then I think that's another thing. And then the reset of a couple of days off, get home, get through the game against Sacramento, and then really see what the Warriors have in store here as they try to fix some things and tinker with the next wave of the rotation moving forward. So we'll call it a night on that note. Great stuff. Some really good calls here over the course of the last half hour plus. Thanks to Sterling Bennett and everybody in our San Francisco studios. I'm John Dickinson. Back with you on Monday from Chase, Warriors Live, 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game, the Warriors and the Kings. And back with you tomorrow, 10 a.m. with Whitey Gleason. Warriors this week, we'll be talking about this game and the 0-5 trip and everything else. What do the Warriors do going forward? Join me and Whitey Gleason 10-1 tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk to you from Chase on Monday. Keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.